Don't you know we've come this far?
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White the Third, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the history of Christianity, with the History of Christianity podcast, episode 198, titled The Dissident Churches of the East, part 2. When I became a believer in Jesus Christ, I somehow had the crazy idea that Christianity began when I got saved. My salvation experience was rather dramatic. But anyway, another reason for that is because I had no concept of the hundreds of years, yea, thousands of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ so long ago. Even though I was raised in the church, and I believe one of the tragedies in church life is that the church is not taught church history universal, not just their particular brand of Christianity or denominational history, but universal church history. And I believe it's one of the reasons why there's so much strife in the world today. But anyway, I have found that many believers, young and old, have the same false idea and notion. It's good that Christianity and salvation is so powerful and so personal that we experience that, but we would be better witnesses for Christ and better church people if we understood church history universal. The purpose of this podcast is to dispel of this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry and time of Jesus Christ here on earth all the way up until the present day in an easy to understand way. You don't have to worry. This is not a lecture. This is a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history universal that every believer and every person, I believe, needs to be aware. Our scripture passage for today is John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, which reads, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Our history of Christianity quote today is from William saw Oyen, he said, I should like to see any power of the world destroy this race, this small tribe of unimportant people whose wars have all been fought and lost, whose structures have crumbled. Literature is unread, music is unheard, and prayers are no more answered. Go ahead, destroy Armenia. See if you can do it. Send them into the desert without bread or water. Burn their homes and churches. Then see if they will not laugh. Sing and pray again. For when two of them meet anywhere in the world, see if they will not create a new Armenia. Today, beloved, in the History of Christianity podcast, we are looking at the Dissident Churches of the East, Part 2, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1. And if you don't have this set for your library or your Kindle device or your iPad or what have you, you need to get it today. I don't believe that you're educated until you get this set. The other major monophysite body is the Armenian Church. By 450, when the Persians tried to impose their religion on Armenia, Christianity, which had arrived there through the work of Gregory the Illuminator, had become the rallying point of Armenian nationality. This was just before the Council of Chalcedon, and the Armenians hoped that the Roman Empire would come to their aid as fellow Christians. But then Theodosius, who had promised such aid, died, and his successors, Pulcheria and Marcian, simply let Armenia be invaded by the Persians. With 1,036 soldiers who fought to the last man, the Armenians defended the mountain passes, hoping that this delay would give the Romans time to intervene. But it was all in vain, and the country was overrun by the Persians. Since it was precisely at that time that Pulcheria and Marcian called the Council of Chalcedon, it is not surprising that the Armenians rejected the decisions of that council. For that reason, they were dubbed Monophysites. They in turn declared that those who had gathered at the council, who had declared that in Christ there are two natures, the divine and the human, were not only traitors but also heretics. Under the Persians, the Armenians proved unwilling to give up their religion and traditions, and were granted a measure of autonomy. Then came the Arabs, under whose regime, in spite of sporadic persecution, Armenian Christianity flourished. In the 11th century, the Turks took the country, and their harshness led many Armenians to immigrate to Asia Minor, where they founded Little Armenia. But eventually, this region was also taken by the Turks, and who ruled it with an iron hand. Early in the 20th century, they massacred thousands of Armenians. Entire villages were wiped out. The survivors scattered throughout the world. Meanwhile, the older Armenia continued its traditions. First, most of it under Soviet rule, and then as the Independent Republic of Armenia. While these various bodies continued existing into the present, by the second half of the 20th century, they had been touched by the ecumenical movement, and they were in all of these churches, as well as in those that had always held to the definition of Chalcedon. Growing numbers that felt that many of their disagreements were verbal rather than real, and thus a rapprochement had begun. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, next time we will continue looking at the dissident churches of the East. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for giving us this time together around the world to learn about universal Christianity and how you moved in your church over the past 2,000 years or so. We give you the glory, praise, and honor that you've given people the ability to do research and to bring it out to us in this way so that we can travel back in time to learn from the good things that your church people have done and to learn how to avoid the bad things they've done for your glory, your praise and honor. Help us to keep marching on. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friends, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life and in the life to come live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you. Don't you know it's true?